Welcome back to Super Tati's for Parshas Korach. I want to spend a couple of minutes on stories about Leitzonus. And Milsa d'Bichusa we know is A-okay, something that kind of warms people's hearts, but Leitzonus is not. Leitzonus makes something into nothing. There was a story which really got me about Rav Shlomo Volba. He gave a Sichas Musar, and one of the people who was listening said this Sicha was so powerful, it's impossible for anybody to refute it or dismiss it. And the Mashgiach said back, I can dismiss it in three words. Ha, ha, ha. Meaning to say that Leitzonus completely undoes just about everything. A similar story Rav Moshe Sternbach said about Rav Moshe Schneider, his Rebbe. He said to tell people to get very, very far away from Leitzonus because really in Volozhin, there were a small group of Bachrim that even though they learned Stark, like all the rest of the Bachrim, they did a little bit of Leitzonus for Dvar B'Shebekdusha, and because of that, that just started kind of unraveling everything in the yeshiva, and before you know it, the yeshiva was very, very weak. An interesting statement by Rav Michal Yehuda Lefkowitz, who tried to deal with the... Oh, pardon me. You know what? I'll set that story aside for a second. This is a comment about the Rav Chatzka Levenstein. Rav Chatzka Levenstein once said there's an old Yiddish phrase that says basically that chickpeas don't stick to a wall, meaning to say the idea is there are certain things which just can't come together. So the same idea, he says, Mashgiach went on and he said the same thing, is that Torah and Leitzonus, they can't really come together. They're completely, wholly incompatible. I want to ask a kasha, which I thought was an extraordinary kasha that came my way this week. So there's a Rashi right at the beginning of the Parsha. It says, Vayikach Korach, Parsha Yizo, Yafa Nidreshes Beret Mezhers Rebbe Tanchuma. So it says, this is beautiful, this Parsha is beautifully darshaned in Mezhers Tanchuma. The only problem is that we have a Gemara in Erevin that says, Akol Omer Shmua Noah, Vezo Eino Noah. If you say this one's Noah and this one isn't, Ma'abed Honoshal Torah, you're really losing the beauty and the gift of the Torah. So how could it be that Rashi says that this one is Yafa Nidreshes? That's that Kasha. So now on to a little Hasidus Shem Yishmol. So Hafreshes Trumas and Maestros, a very interesting thing. Hafreshes Trumas and Maestros, this is giving thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the produce that he gave us and the grain that he gave us. But for Hafreshes Challah, there's nothing new here, right? It's just that you took the pieces of flour and you put them all together. And he explains that this is a tikkun for Machlokas. That's why this mitzvah is right after the Raglan, because that was an instance of extraordinary machlokas. So next, one more chasidus. Vikach Korach, says Rashi. V'korach shepikeach haya mara l'shtus zo. Rashi says he was so smart. Why did he get into such shtus? Says the chidush ha'arim. You know why? Mara l'shtus zo liyos pikeach. Ki lo tov la'adam liyos yoser midei pikeach. You know, you don't want to be too smart. You don't want to be put yourself out as the smartest guy in the room sometimes. It's a very, very, very scary thing. Sometimes people trip over their own brain. Next, there's another Rashi. Svikach Korach, Parsha Zo Yafa Nidreshes, says in the name of Rabbi David Weinberg, says the following, what does it mean, Al Derech Tzachus, Parsha Zo Yafa Nidreshes? He says the Parsha of Machlokas needs to be Nidreshes, meaning in every Machlokas there's two sides. And when every side comes and says their idea, you don't take it just on the very superficial level. You have to go really, really deep and understand behind every taina, there's a personal negius that's involved, and you have to really understand and appreciate what is happening there. One wild gra. We have a Rashi that says the reason why Parshas Tzitzis is right next to the Parsha of the Makoshish is because the two of them are shkulim keneged kol mitzvos. They're all equal to mitzvos, but there's a remez that the Gra found, which is really remarkable, because the Lamed Tes Malachos, they are in four different groups. 13 Malachos making a beged, 11 for the Sidur Lepas, 7 for Meleches Or, and another 8 which are miscellaneous. And these go with the tzitzis, because the tzitzis have 39 krichos, right? And those have four different chuyos, 7 krichos, and then 8 krichos, and then 11 krichos, and then 13 krichos. I want to add a nesivos. A nesivos
quotes a Gemara in Erevin Yud Tes that says Shlosha Psachim Yesh LeGehenim. There are three openings in Gehenim. Echad b'Midbar, Echad b'Yam, v'Echad b'Yerushalayim. So in the desert, in the sea, and in Yerushalayim. B'Hu Tamua, very, very strange. So says the Nesivos, three different drachim to get yourself to Gehenim. The first one is Midbar, which represents actually Machlokas, like what happened in the Midbar with the Machlokas of Korach. So we can see how destructive a Machlokas is, and what that can do for us, and how terrible that can get us. I'll focus on the third one, is Yerushalayim. These are avonos that are done in Yerushalayim. We've talked about how in Eretz Yisrael we have additional scrutiny, increased scrutiny. So Allah has come of a comment in Yerushalayim. In Yerushalayim, I remember I once spent Shabbos like right in the heart of the old city, and I felt the intensity was so hard that like you had to, the intensity of Shabbos alone was much, but the intensity in the old city felt, even harder. I felt like, or more potent. I think that it's shaykh to think maybe that, that intense scrutiny is significant. And the third one, or the second on the list, but the third one I'm discussing is the yam. The yam is somebody who could give tochcha and didn't give tochcha. And this was the chait of Yonah that was punished by being put into the water. Now, I think that this is very, very interesting, specifically in light of the concept of the context of the way that the Nesivos himself addresses Perek Yud Aleph in Koheles, where Shlomo Melech says, Shlach lach mechal pnei amayim, ki rov yamim yevoenu, something along those lines, says Shlomo Melech, meaning throw your bread on the water because, it's going to come back to you. And he uses that to talk about Gedol Yisrael giving tochacha, davka. And he says that even when they think that everybody's going to be a sarvan and isn't going to listen, that tochacha is going to yield some fruits. I think that that is in some ways consistent with the gestalt of what he's saying with tochacha here, is that, there are the people who are very trigger-happy with tochacha, and that can obviously be an extraordinary challenge. And then there are people who are the opposite. They are a little bit too gun-shy with tochacha, and we're now speaking against that second group. Onward, I want to just mention, I saw this week a extraordinary comment of Rav Chaim Volozhiner, and the comment was a question: why do we mention all of the sirchonim generally in Sefer Bamidbar? It just seems as if, as soon as you get to one, then you get to the next, then you get to the next, and then you get to the next, and then you get to the next, and you get to the next, and before you know it, it's a real laundry list of all of these sirchonim, and it seems like it's a real gnai. We don't always like to put out the disgrace, and it is, it shows really poorly for Klal Yisrael. And his response to that question was, yeah, but the upshot of all of it is it shows the shevach of one person. It shows the shevach of Moshe Rabbeinu, because he was such a savlan. He had the patience for Klal Yisrael to, ad kedei kach, to so many different degrees, that it was one sirchon, another sirchon, another sirchon, another sirchon. And many people would have cracked under the disappointment and the pressure and the frustration, so much earlier in the process. And Moshe Rabbeinu had that mida that he could deal with it. Now, just in a microcosm, we're all going to be at our Shabbos tables. There will be people spilling and screaming and interrupting and talking and trying to direct your conversation and perhaps even whomping on each other and doing all the things that a robust Jewish family is supposed to do. But occasionally that can be a little bit frustrating, and just it's a nice reminder of how extraordinary and how fundamental it is in our faith and in our tradition to be patient. I thought that was a really beautiful spin to take us back. Now, a couple of Mivchar Pninims. First one is maybe on that same point. It says Ve'amar. It's a short one. Shesok v'sinatzil. Be silent and be saved. Shema v'silmod. It's two different listen and learn. Two different attitudinal
points. The first one is when somebody's kind of going at you, just be quiet and be saved from the fire of the machlekas. Obviously, this is relevant for the sidra. And Shema v'tilmod is that you need to have the attitude that there's things to learn from other people, and if you do that, then you'll be ready, open, and willing to get what other people have to offer. V'amara chacham, odenu mevakesh chachma. He says, Chacham says, you need to be already prepared to still be seeking wisdom, meaning even if you're in a chacham, you know, in a chacham's shoes already. V'kasher yachshov shi'igia ad tachlisa. So, and the opposite is also true. When you feel like you've already gotten it all, husacha, you're the fool. You are absolutely playing the fool here. And I think that as we develop, we should probably notice that, like, our appreciation of something, you feel like you get one area of Torah, or you understand something in Midos or Avodas Hashem or whatnot, you know that there are little branches in there that just branch off, and you can see them that you're not completely hopping. So your understanding is based on your lack of understanding, just as a systematic thing. And as a Midos thing, be careful when you feel like you've got it all. It's just... it's rarely the case. You know, I'll end with a story. It's a story about, I remember hearing about Oscar Wilde, the British writer who maybe Scottish. He basically, he was going through customs and they said, do you have anything to declare? And he says, yes, my own brilliance. And I think that kind of says it. I mean, you come out sounding like a complete fool when somebody asserts their intelligence in such a way, and they feel as if, you know, they are the smartest guy in the room. There's nothing left to learn. This is the idea of Tov Shebarov and Megehenim, as brought out in the Tiferes Yisrael, is that the Tiferes Yisrael says, what, I mean, it sounds very jarring to say that the best of the Rofim should go to Gehenim, because, you know, a doctor is involved in the halach to bidrachav. They're saving people's lives. They're helping. They're doing all these chassanim. Why would the best of the rofim go to Gehenim? And the answer that the Tiferes Yisrael is when you think that you're the best, or you think that you're the smartest in this instance, you're not going to really seek consultation from others. And when you don't seek consultation from others, all of a sudden, that could lead you to a very bad place. First thing, you're not going to learn anymore in the same sort of way, because you feel like there's nothing to learn from anybody. And second, it could actually lead to mistakes. So that's not the attitude that B'nai Torah should take. This learning should be dedicated for the Refuah Shleimah of Tinok ben Osna Miriam. Have a wonderful Shabbos.